Welcome back to The Road to Stormont, a Green Bowl podcast special where we'll meet some of the best, funniest, most talented and dedicated people in Irish cricket ahead of the Test match between Ireland men and Zimbabwe men, the first time the two nations have met in Test cricket, and only the second home Test Ireland have played so far. Last time we heard from Stella Downes, Mark Hawthorne and Seb Daly, three people you're unlikely to see in front of a camera. Listen back on your favourite podcast app and subscribe to hear more stories that are funny, fascinating and moving, but are all driven by a passion for our sport. But in this episode, we're talking to people who are on the pitch building what was to come. Because Irish cricket, if anything, is a story built on everyone who came before. First up, it's Andrew White.
232 caps, I think, am I right in saying?
Correct, yes.
How did you find out you made your debut?
I remember actually driving on a bus with North Down to an Irish Cup game at Pembroke, and Saturday's newsletter was on the bus, and there was Ian Callender had done a write up, and there was murmurings through that newspaper that I was in consideration of a potential call up, but it was only when the letter arrived from John Wright on the doorstep that I was able to read that I had been selected on the upcoming tour for the Triple Crown in Wales. It was brilliant. It was something that came earlier than I thought it would. But lo and behold, the first three games that I was a part of were three bowlouts. The whole week was a washout. So actually those games didn't count in the records. And my first game then became a European Championship game against Holland in Scotland.
How did it feel turning up on day one of your international career?
I do have some pretty vivid memories of it. Well, during that Triple Crown washout, I remember Angus Dunlop saying to me from the outset that it was one thing to be selected for Ireland, but it was another thing to win. And you know, that winning mentality was sort of ground into me very early on. And you had some brilliant characters in that team at that time. You had Alan Rutherford, Angus Dunlop, Peter Gillespie, Matt Dwyer, Kyle McCallan, a lot of players that I had watched in the previous summers, and it was great to be a part of. But you know, for me, it was trying to find my feet at the same time and trying to work out how to score runs against better opposition. But I also had the likes of Dom Joyce there, who made his debut the same day, who had been through the under-19 program with. So no, brilliant to be given a first cap, and I was fortunate that in my third game I got 100 against Denmark and arguably didn't look back from there.
I was literally about to ask that. So the third match, 111 off 157 balls, ducked water.
It'd be a bit slow these days, wouldn't it? 111 off 150 balls, but I think it was a green seamer, so we'll excuse the slow strike rate. But I think because of the programme of the under-19s, I probably went in with a level of confidence, and I suppose being an all-rounder, I think I got four wickets in the game before against an ECB 11, and you know, I suppose confidence is obviously a big thing in sport, and it just sort of snowballed from there. But you know, there's plenty of peaks and troughs along the way, but really pleased to make a solid start in international cricket.
What was it like playing in the first match for Ireland in front of a Belfast crowd?
Yeah, I always enjoyed playing in Belfast, and a lot of familiar faces in the crowds. The whole way through my career, I think, you know, played a lot of games at Stormont and played actually in the first one-day international against England. Really enjoyed playing at Stormont, and even to this day, still enjoy going back and playing at Stormont.
You're saying playing in front of your hometown crowd is a special moment, so I guess people like Mark Adair and Paul Stirling these days, they'll might have a tear in the eye on day one.
I'm sure they will, and knowing Paul and Mark, they'll not take it for granted. Especially somebody like Paul, who's played for years and years, and probably closer to the end of his career than he is to the start. So he'll cherish the moment, because the opportunities to play Test matches are special. But for those Belfast boys in particular, to play the first Test match in Northern Ireland, that'll be a brilliant day for them.
Now it's Sive Young.
Hi, Sive Young. ex-international Irish cricketer and 2024 Hall of Fame inductee.
Congratulations on your induction into the Hall of Fame. Well deserved. You're here, Sive, because you played the first women's test match, and that's the first test match for Ireland as a nation as a whole. That was against Pakistan back in 2000. Can you tell us about your abiding memories of that test match?
Well, I remember that we didn't really know, obviously, how to play a test match. I just remember there were lots and lots of tactical conversations about scores, where we should be at different times of the game, how much we should have on the board, a real focus on taking wickets and more of the same.
Very good. You bowled a famous spell, 10 overs, 9 maidens, 1 run, no wickets. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, as I said earlier, we were all told the most important thing was to take wickets. And so I had this opening spell where I didn't seem to be able to take a wicket. And I actually remember, Isabel, I remember someone from the field who kept shouting, "You're very expensive today, Sive. You need to tighten that line and length." And I do believe that was you. But I also remember that obviously I had to leave the wickets for you because I do believe you picked up 6 that day and the player of the match. So you can thank me later.
That was a spell where you, I'm assuming it's because you bowled a way swing and maybe you just kept beating the outside edge and you didn't bowl a tight enough line. Do you relish the history of it? Was it something that you, you know, in your career, you took time to really appreciate the history of what you were achieving?
Memories stick with you forever. You know, I mean, I'm not a young lady now, although I think I am. And just going back to the test match in Malahide, I mean, Mick Jagger turned up and I remember sitting by the door with Anne-Marie and he waved at us and we both just giggled at him as if we were, I don't know, 15 years old or something. And then when he left, we roared laughing. But you can't undo those friendships, especially with cricket, because you, you know, honestly have spent a very long time with each other, whether it's on the pitch or in a rain break. But you've definitely spent a lot of time with each other. And my memory of Irish cricket and club cricket is just, it was just great fun. And I feel like other countries and clubs were really quite jealous of just the camaraderie and how much fun we had as a team.
And now, Gary Wilson.
Gary, just talking about the Belfast Test, the lead-up. Because you grew up just down the road in Hollywood. What was cricket like as a kid in the 1990s?
Yeah, my dad got me into it. I used to go along to whoever he was umpiring, and I used to wear my whites, and hopefully someone would either get injured or have to leave early or something, like get on and feel for whatever team. And yeah, I just really loved it from there, I suppose. Grew up playing for Hollywood Cricket Club whenever I was really young, and then moved on to north of Ireland on the Omagh Road whenever I got a little bit older and wanted to play a bit higher standard. But I just remember it being loads of fun. Like, I used to try and get my mates into it that didn't grow up in a cricket environment or from a cricket family. And yeah, I guess most of my days were spent down at the cricket club in the summer.
You debuted for Ireland in 2005. How did you find out you were selected?
Well, my debut in one-day cricket came against the MCC at Bangor. That was still a cap match in those days. And I remember I was keeping wicket for my club team at Stormont, and the Ireland team were staying across the road. And I had obviously done being part of the Ireland 19, so I'd worked with the 80 Borough before, but I was keeping wicket in that match and got a leg-side stumping off Alan Coulter, and Roy Torrens was in the ground at the time, and it was actually Jeremy Bray was standing in for Niall O'Brien in the ICC Trophy, and Bray's who got injured, hamstring or something maybe, and they were deciding whether to bring me or might have been Stephen Ogilvie at the time into the team, and I think Roy just said, well, he's just got a leg side stumping across the road there, so maybe I owe my whole career to Big Roy.
So 292 caps for Ireland. How did you find juggling county and international cricket duties?
At the time, it was great. I think it probably shortened my career a little bit just with the pure workload. But I think they both helped one another. I probably wouldn't have got my first gig with Surrey if I hadn't have been an Irish cricketer. And then I probably wouldn't have got the amount of caps I did for Ireland had I not been playing and doing well in England. So I think I was able to balance them pretty well. One day, actually, I can remember playing here at Mallide, finishing a game for against the UAE for Ireland, and flying that day to go and play a game for Surrey that night against Essex in the T20 Blast. I think Sean Tate got me for none off four, so I'm not sure Alec would have been too impressed that he paid for my early flight. So I think he nearly hit me in the head first ball, and then I played and missed it a couple, and then he bowled me. So it wasn't really worth it. But those are the sorts of things that you just did, and I was so lucky in the two teams that meant the most for me. I ended up getting to play quite a lot for.
Finally, here's Paul Sterling.
So I'm with Paul Sterling. Where are we today?
We're at Malahide.
What are we doing today?
We're playing cricket. We're training for the test match coming up next week.
So before I get on to the test match in Belfast, I'll take you back in time a bit. You debuted in 2008. How did you find out you'd made your debut?
Jeez, my memory isn't the best at the best of times. I remember training with Phil Simmons in North County, and particularly batted pretty well that year. I think probably one of the best knocks I've ever had was at an Irish under 23 game in Scotland as I think maybe even a 16-year-old, and I know Phil Simmons was there watching, and I think to score 100 in that standard with people so much older than you and better than you, that I think that sort of raised a few eyebrows from Phil, and he was like, you know, we'll maybe try and get this guy in. And I didn't realise it was going to happen so quickly, but I think maybe even that winter that was the case, and got on the flight to Abu Dhabi probably not expecting to play either, and I managed to sneak into the team.
So your debut was a first class fixture against the UAE, I believe.
Yeah.
Do you have any memories of that game?
Yeah, loads. I think Saki Bali maybe scored 190 against us. It was a really, really good game. I think maybe even Owen Morgan scored a double century. And there was a lot of runs scored, but we managed to pick up the 20 wickets we needed and chased it. I believe we were one down, maybe one by 9 wickets, and I certainly would have been that guy that was out.
It wasn't long until you played your first international at Stormont. How does it feel to play in front of a home crowd?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, you get more than just, you know, your mum and dad are always there, but you sort of get more than that with the home games. You get your outer family and your close friends, they come and watch. So to be able to, you know, get out there and bat in front of them is a pretty good feeling. It's something we only used to get once or twice a year with the way the fixture schedule was. But to be able to get a test match coming there as well now, that's a great feeling.
So you're at nearly 400 caps, which is quite phenomenal. What is, if you can try and encapsulate it, what does playing for Ireland mean to you?
It probably means everything, to be honest. I've done it my whole life, so I don't really know much else, to be honest. Certainly playing for Middlesex and Ireland sort of at the same time throughout my 20s was a great, I suppose, achievement. I really enjoyed it, but certainly playing for your country is a different thing entirely. It's a great honour, something I'm still really privileged to be playing, and hopefully I've still got a few years left.
Join us next time when we'll talk to people who are there for a date with destiny in Malahide.